I'm very thankful that you have chosen to be here today, and it was a choice you made. And the reason you made that choice is because you know that God chose you. That's why you're here. God chose you and God ordained you. Not you as a fleshly person or a fleshly man or woman. He chose you because he ordained you as a son from the beginning. God knows every person without exception, whether they be good or whether they be evil. He knows them because he created them. He created them from the beginning. So there's not one soul that God does not know. He knows them all, and they are all his. That's why he knows them. So if I were to have 100 children, I would guarantee you I would know the names of all 100 of my children. Thank God I don't have 100 children, at least in the flesh, right? I know I have more than that in the spirit, and that's where I'll keep it, is in the spirit, because in the spirit we have many, just so you know. And I look forward to the moments where I can meditate on the Word of God and begin to preach the gospel to my children 24/7 without rest. I've entered into the rest of God. I labor in the rest of God in order to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to my children. But there's some things that I want to bring forth to you today, and I believe it's going to help you if you'll listen to the Word of God, if you'll pay attention. And I was thinking much about these things this week, and not just for your sake, but for my world, this gospel must be preached, and it must divide. It must separate good and evil. It must separate the spirits, those that work in the dark, because the book of Ephesians. Okay, I will. The book of Ephesians talks about, we in the sixth chapter, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against wicked spirits, principalities and powers in darkness. That's what we wrestle against. And that those things, I'll tell you what, in the flesh we are not capable of dealing with those things. Those things will eat our lunch if we even try. That's why it is necessary for us to be filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost to deal with those wicked spirits that live in the darkness that we do not know or understand. And the reason that they are in darkness is because our understanding is there. We don't have the understanding of those things within ourselves, so we don't know how to deal with them, and so they can hide from us. And they live in mysteries within. So by the Holy Ghost then and the preaching of the gospel, the mysteries are revealed. The mysteries are made known to where we become the stewards of the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that the mystery of godliness is known. The mystery of the woman is known. The mystery of iniquity is known. Those things become our way of life in the Spirit of God. Not in the flesh, in the Spirit of God. So that we know how to overcome all things, including the flesh. So that the mind of flesh cannot rule our mind. We now have the mind of Christ, and the Word of God now rules in my mind. That's very important for us to understand. So I want to take you to Luke, the 16th chapter this morning. And in doing so, I'm gonna sing a song. Some of you may know it. Some of you may not. I believe most of you will know it. And if you want to sing with me, you can. But it would be a good thing just to hear it, because it's such a simple chorus, but it speaks volumes when it comes to how we pursue the things of God. Because one thing for sure, if I am seeing sin, then I will never know who I am. If I'm seeing Jesus, I will always know who I am. And no matter what situation I am in, I will always know who I am in Christ Jesus. Thus, I will be the beloved of the Father. Does the Father love whom he knows? So, we know from Romans, the 13th chapter, we know from that chapter that faith, hope, and charity. What is charity? It is to know how you are known. So that whole chapter is set forth for you to know as you are known of the Father, so that your perception of who you are is the same as the Father's perception of who you are. There's no difference. So that the differences between you and God are taken away. Isn't that awesome? So Jesus knew that it was not wrong for him to think like God. He knew that that was life itself. And so he would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It was not robbery for him to think that he was God. So in the testimony of Jesus Christ, is it wrong for you to think as Jesus Christ thinks? No, it is not. It is the will of the Father for you. That's what he has established for you from the beginning. So when we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning, that's where all things are made manifest. We have heard it, we have handled it, we have seen it, so that every aspect of the consciousness now knows Jesus Christ. Does everyone understand how many levels of consciousness there are in us all, in each and every one of us? Well, we know that there's many, but the ones that we talk about specifically are celestial, terrestrial, and physical. Correct? We talk about those a lot. We define them, and we show them forth. We make them manifest in teaching. But how about how many layers are in the conscious that we don't understand, in other words, we call it our subconscious? Do you know that every layer of subconscious, or every layer of consciousness, has a subconscious to it? That's an amazing thing. And yet, most of us have not spent any time in prayer allowing God to define or to show us how those things work within, and how many spirits, wicked spirits, work in them, and how many godly spirits work in them. Because we're not just after wicked spirits. We are after godly spirit. Amen? Knowing that it's godly spirit that overcomes the wicked spirit. So if I chased wicked spirits all day long, I would be a wicked person. Wickedness would abound. So that's not what it's about. It's about chasing that which is godly. It's about pursuing God so that God can make known, or God can reveal, the wicked spirits. Amen? So, knowing that then, I began to sing this little chorus to myself this morning, and y'all know. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, right? Because, listen, if there was ever a time as this time, it is time for us to turn our eyes, to turn and set our eyes upon the Lord. It is time. It is time to pursue God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and all of our strength. Isn't that the first commandment? To love the Lord our God. And God is waiting. Has God pursued you? Yes, he has, man. Diligently. Non-stop. That's why you're here, is because the Father has pursued you and drawn you unto himself so that you would know. So that each and every one of you would know this morning. So turn, I hopefully I can sing it this morning. I sang it pretty good at home today, but nobody else was here. So anyway, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now, it's a simple song, but it has truth in it. If I turn my eyes to Jesus, I will begin to see the wonderful works of God. And those wonderful works of God have been given or established in the Holy Ghost, so that I will always know that I am the beloved of the Father. And there is no excuses then that stand between me and God. That's awesome. That is awesome. So, Luke, the 16th chapter, I would prefer to have you just listen than read along, because a lot of times when we read along, we get lost in the word and miss the hearing. So I'd rather have you get lost in the hearing and miss the word. How about that? I'll say it that way this morning. But this is a parable. And the parable is about a man. And in the man are two minds. One mind named Lazarus, another mind, a Pharisee, a rich man, who thinks he knows God. And it's an amazing parable of this man, because that's the battleground that lives in us all. And a lot of times we try to reason it or think through it in ourselves, and we get lost in it. And we misinterpret things, and things just don't come to pass as we think that they should in our lives. And in the end result of it, then, you know that Jesus Christ came to deliver all those who believed into the kingdom of heaven, right? That was his whole motive. The kingdom of heaven has come to you today. That was his motive. And in order for you to enter heaven, you had to believe in Jesus so that your sins could be removed. Because no one laden with sin is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Sin cannot enter into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is no sin in God. There is no sin in Jesus Christ. Zero. 1 John chapter 4 or 5, I believe it's chapter 5. Describes that to us. Now it's chapter 4. That the child of God has no sin. Because he's a child of God. Now a child of the devil, what is he laden with? Sin. That's what sin is, what makes the mind of the devil active in us all. So Jesus came to take away the sin that the mind of the Father, that Jesus' mind would be illuminated in us, and we would see the kingdom of heaven. We would know that we were the sons of God. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. So Jesus came and he preached the message of the gospel, to where there were no hidden mysteries in it. He preached it openly. And the Pharisees came and began to mock him. Now, you have all been taught what a Pharisee is. Is it something in this world out here, or is it a thought within that just can't believe that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ? It can only come through the works of the law. That's a pharisaical thought. Is that In my mind, I know that I can work the grace of God, or I can work the forgiveness of God, or I can work the works of God through the works of the law and make them manifest in myself, and I can exalt myself among men. That's a pharisaical thought. So here's these Pharisees, and they're coming, and what are they coming to do? They're coming to mock the Lord. So here comes the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's preached openly. Mysteries are revealed. And those thoughts within where we think we know the Bible, where we think we know the Scriptures, where we think that we are the sons of God. And when we hear the mysteries being revealed in it and we don't understand or know those mysteries, we begin to mock God in what we think we know. That's pharisaical. If it's pharisaical, what is it? Is it a lie or is it the truth? It's a lie. So the lie within is greater than I ever thought it would be. So if I go back and I read Romans chapter 1, and I read 18 through 33, why is 18 and 33 provisional in the book of Romans in the first chapter? Because it begins to outline that thought that was given by the Word of God, and I took it and I hold it within and I change it from a truth to a lie, and that becomes my source of living by the Word of God. That's why it's there. And what it begins to create within the heart when I hold it, take the truth, turn it into a lie, do not come to repentance. I keep living in the traditions of what I believe. That begins to create in me idols. It begins to create in me false gods. It begins to create in me false prophets. It begins to create in me antichrists. And when I say antichrists, I mean plural. Many. Because any thought that is against Jesus Christ is an antichrist. And we have many thoughts within that are against God. And God has sent His Son to take them all away and make them manifest. Because we can't do it, believe me. And Jesus said to these Pharisees, "You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart." So I have these thoughts that justify myself before men, and I live in them as judgment. Hear me. So I can look outwardly, and if I look outwardly, I can't see myself. If I look outwardly, it's impossible for me to see myself. I am looking at everything around me and am not looking at myself. Now, I told you when we started this that I know what you need for your help. And we've brought you to this point many times in our teachings, but now, today is the day of salvation. And it's time for us to allow the Word of God to begin to set some things in affirmation in our hearts so that we may become and fulfill the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men, now listen to this, is abomination in the sight of God. How many of us think it's better to please men than to please God? Well, we all will say no. I think it's better to please men, or please God. We all think it's better to please God. And it is better to please God. Yet there is something that lives in the thought that it's this yearning deep within that think without the praises of men, we are not going to be accepted in this world. And it's there. And it's called a hindrance to the gate of heaven. It's called a stumbling block that keeps you from entering in to the realities of Jesus Christ, to know Jesus Christ in the Spirit and not after the flesh. It's a place that God hath ordained for you, and He ordained it for you before time began. That's why Jesus always said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So that in me, you know your place of beginning. And if you know your place of beginning, you will definitely know who you are in the end. You know the end is that you have become. That's the end. It doesn't mean you're over. It means you're finished. You have become that which God said you are. That's where we all want to live, right? We want to live in the becoming or being the Son of God, knowing the mysteries, knowing the answers, being able to preach the gospel in Jesus Christ in great clarity to our world so that our world understands and knows the mysteries of God also. So that my children and my generations, when it comes to the things of God, there's a wonder that works in them, and the wonder is that they now understand the wonderful works of Jesus Christ through the revelation of the mystery of who He is. So that when I open my mouth and words come out of my mouth, it's the revelation of the mysteries of Jesus Christ, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ is understood in everyone who hears. Wow. That's the faithfulness of God to us who believe. Praise the Lord. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. True? So who was John? He was a prophet. Was John the last prophet? Yeah, until you meet Jesus. Correct? Until you meet Jesus. Now, every prophet is in Jesus Christ, so in Christ I know them all. How about the law? Is every law in Jesus Christ? So that when I know Jesus, I know every law and can fulfill it. So is Jesus Christ the fulfillment of the law and the prophet? Oh, we know it is because the Bible says so. And if I believe the Word of God as it's written, then I know that that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophet. The problem is, I don't understand it. I know it in knowledge, but do I know it in truth? To where, when the law speaks, I speak it fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In other words, I have become the fulfillment of the law. That's a challenge to us all. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. So the law and the prophets were until John, but when Jesus came by grace and truth, what shows up? Heaven. The law and the prophets were until John. But when Jesus came, the kingdom of heaven is now known. Wow. So that's where we miss it. Jesus Christ is the kingdom of heaven. So when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes, I now have the revelation of heaven. And I now begin to understand that heaven is my home. Heaven is my home. It is the place that I had my beginning, or have my beginning, in the things of God. So Jesus Christ comes on the scene, He makes manifest heaven. And yet, the Pharisee does not see it that way. The Pharisee misses it, because they have their own agenda, so to speak. They have their own heaven that doesn't come by Jesus Christ. And believe me, if heaven doesn't come by Jesus Christ, there is no heaven. And that's what we're going to show forth as we continue on. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. Oh my gosh, that's a mouthful. So Jesus just said, listen, the law and the prophets came by John, but since Jesus Christ came, heaven. And it is easier to do what? You want me to read it again? It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away and the thoughts thereof. Okay? The thoughts of heaven and earth to pass away than for one word of the law to fail. Where did the law come from? Heaven came from the seat of God, from the throne room of God, legislated by angels. Because the governments are upon his shoulders, Isaiah 9, 6, right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the governments shall be upon his shoulders. I remember when I was very young in God, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, I saw a bright light. And in the brightness of that light, I heard Isaiah 9:6. And I knew it was the birthing of the Son of God within. Because now I began to understand who Jesus is. It's an amazing time. It was from that moment on I began to thank the Lord and speak in tongues. Just because that's what I was taught to do. Knowing that no interpretation came by the tongue, but the revelation came by Jesus Christ, by a word from heaven. Now listen to this. This is an amazing transition to me, okay? Whosoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. Okay, we're just talking about the law and the prophets. Weren't we? And we just said that it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. And then Jesus starts talking about adultery. He begins to talk about a wife and a husband. Why does he take the word of God and put it in a parable of a wife and a husband? Let's look at it this way. In the beginning, when God made man, he made them after whose image? His own image. And he made them what? Male and female. See, in our minds, we think that male and female is this. In God's mind, that's not male and female at all. So if my wife takes on a pharisaical thought, what has she just done to her husband? She just committed adultery. I know who my husband is. This is the Lord from heaven. So if I take on a thought of the Pharisee and I begin to work my own works and exalt them among men, have I just committed adultery against God? My wife has found another. So what happens to the law, the first commandment? What happens to it? You left your first love. That's why these things are these things become so important, folks. And when we read them after the when we reason them after the flesh, we miss the whole thing. And thus we err. And God says it's time to stop erring and start believing that the kingdom of heaven has come. Let me go on. And whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. So now whoever chases, if I go chasing after that thought that I created myself, am I adding sin to sin? Oh my goodness. I am adding sin to sin. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, who's this mystery beginning to talk about? It's talking about that thought that I have exalted in my mind. And in my mind, that thought has become very rich, very substantial, and has brought me much gain and has made me who I am. And fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. What's that thought? What's a Lazarus thought? It's a thought that was dead, but is now what? It's risen. Who rose it from the dead? Jesus Christ. It needs the Lord, and it knows it needs God. It knows that its own works do nothing but leave it full of sores and needs to be healed of God and begins to cry out that God come and raise it from the dead. That's awesome. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Why would the dogs come and lick his sores? Because God sent them. What's a dog? Okay. False prophet. What else? Jesus called Pharisees dogs and hypocrites, vipers, right? But they were, what did they speak? They spoke a word that he could hear. He just didn't let that word become a thought that was against the Lord or puffed up in himself. He heard it as the word of God. He knew he needed God. What was the difference between a Peter and a Nicodemus? Who was Peter? He was a disciple that believed the word of God. Who was Nicodemus? He was a priest, a Jewish priest, a chief priest, the Bible says. Well, didn't he speak the word that Peter heard? Didn't the chief priest, wasn't he the one that was ordained to read the scriptures every morning in the temple? But Peter heard the word that he spoke, but the chief priest didn't hear it. He read it because he was the keeper of it, but he didn't understand it. How could Peter be in the same place, hearing the same word as the chief priest who was the keeper of the oracle, and Peter hear the word of God that would bring forth the kingdom of heaven, and the chief priests hear it? That when heaven came, it just brought forth a mock. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's an amazing parable, and it works in us all. It works in us all. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by... Now listen to this. This is important, all right? It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So, the Lazarus thought died, and where did it go? It rose. Who took it there? So, the angels are supposed to do what? What are they supposed to separate? The wheat and the tare. Oh, The angels are ordained by the Father to separate the wheat and the tare. So when Lazarus died, the angels came and took the wheat and put it in the garner of God. Well, the rich man died also. They buried it. So now we have the separation between a wheat and a tare. This is one man. This is you. So don't tell me that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not working in you. All God wants to do is reveal the mystery where you begin to see the resurrection of the thought that He has garnered in you as a son, and you begin to believe it. That's why we have a parable. Let me go on. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So now, let me ask you something. Can a thought that's been buried in the pit of hell see the kingdom of heaven? Can heaven see the pit of hell? Yes, it can. How else? Listen, if these things were not true, how else would God be able to send His apostles into the earth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring those that are held captive by sin in hell and bring them out unto the Father? It would not be possible. It's amazing what the grace of God affords to us who believe. And why it's there. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. So here's this rich man in the torment of hell, right? Sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And what does he do? What does he cry out for? Mercy. But he's not ready for it yet. I'm going to guarantee you. He's not ready for it. Let me go on. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cook my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember. Now, Abraham just called that rich Pharisee what? Son. Is it maybe a prodigal son that doesn't understand his inheritance yet? Oh yeah, I'm telling you. Wow. These things are awesome, aren't they? And Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things. Did the prodigal son receive the good things in his lifetime? Did his father give him his inheritance and let him go do what he wanted to do? Likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Whew. Wouldn't you rather have the comfort of the Holy Ghost, Frankie, than have all the things this world has to offer you? I'm telling you. And besides all this, between me and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you, neither can they pass to us that would come from you. So I can't go to you, you can't come to me, because there's this great gulf. This is what works in our minds and keeps us from entering in to the kingdom of heaven. Who can overcome it? The Word of God, whom we call Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ sent into the earth? To do what? To save it. For God so loved the world. Right? To save it. Is there much to save? And if there's much to save, is there much understanding that needs to come forth or to be saved? Oh, believe me. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, talking to Abraham, right? The father of faith, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, that they may come into his, to this place of torment, that they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses. Now listen. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Because listen, Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses and the prophets. Jesus rose from the dead. How many Pharisees believed in Jesus? None. They had the law and the prophets, they just couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear it in truth. They created idols. They created gods. They created images from the law and the prophets and worked it in their own minds. And it became a form of godliness that denied the power thereof. And it caused them to commit adulteries before the Lord. It caused them to cast their minds into the pits of hell. But did it cause them to not be able to see the kingdom of heaven? No, they could see it. So that the mercy of God in their day of reckoning could come. And it's coming. Hear me. Because didn't we read earlier in this parable that it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one word of the law to fail? You think Jesus Christ is going to fail even this wretched man? No. He just has to come to a time where he wakes up and he begins to see that in my Father's house, my Father's servants have it better than I do. And that day is coming. That day is upon us. That's blessed. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. I'm going to tell you something. Lazarus is not dead. He's only dead in the mind of the Pharisee. But in the mind of God, Lazarus is made alive. He's quickened. And he has put off the mortal body and put on immortality. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. True? It's important for us to begin to allow ourselves to hear the Word of God. To hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And let the mysteries of God, the mystery of godliness, begin to bring forth the righteousness of God in us all. Can you say amen? It is true. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. If we see Jesus, we will not see the man of sin. We will know the man of sin. And we will know that Jesus Christ has put him off. But we will also know that that is not who I am. I am the Son of God. God bless you today. Amen.